I'm preaching this morning verses 16, 17, and 18 of the passage that Brenda just read. So let's just look again. It should be projected on the over... Yeah, there we are. 16, 17, 18. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that he should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. Any red lights flashing? He says here, well, there is a sin that leads to death, and I'm not saying you should bother praying about that. There's a sin that leads to death, an unforgivable sin. Shall we pray together? In Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray that you bring about clarity to your scripture this morning, that you give your spirit-filled children ears to hear and discern your word. Enable me, Lord, to preach, Lord, clearly and faithfully. And, oh God, may your voice be heard. For Christ's sake, amen. I remember once a man in hospital. I had to visit him. He was seriously ill. And this was years ago. I went to visit him in the ward, and he was in a terrible emotional state. He was terrified that he was going to die. And he basically argued like this. He said, I don't want to die because I'm afraid if I die, I'm going to go to hell. I'm certain I'm hell-bound and I don't want to die yet. Well, I did what a preacher's supposed to do. I tried to comfort him with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I told him about the love of God, the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, the blood of the covenant, forgiveness. You know what he said? He said, oh no, Jesus can't help me. He can't help me now. And I said, what? Jesus can't help you? Why? He said, I've committed the unforgivable sin. There's no hope for me. Even Jesus can't help me now because I've committed the unpardonable sin. And I had to leave that man in that horrible state. I think he died a few days later. And it was one of those bad experiences. I hope that before he died, he had peace. But when I left him, he was in a state of terror. He was convinced he'd done something that was absolutely unforgivable, and Jesus was no help to him. Now, where did this fellow get the idea from that he could never be forgiven? Where did it come from? He found it in the Bible. He found it in the words of Jesus himself. It's found in Mark chapter 3, verse 29. You can look this up if you like in your own time. Whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. Whoever sins against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He sins eternally. And these are the words of Jesus Christ himself. So the Bible tells us that there is an eternal sin, an unforgivable sin. If you don't believe that, you have to argue with Jesus himself. And then we read today in our passage you have before you that there is a sin that leads to death. In fact, John tells us here that it's not even worth bothering to pray for this sin because it's a sin that leads to death. Scary, isn't it? Look at the words there. What is this terrible, unforgivable sin? What is this sin that's so bad, John says it's not even worth praying about? This sin that leads to death. What is it? More applicably, how can I know whether or not I am maybe guilty of that terrible sin? I mean, what if I am? What if I have sinned against the Holy Spirit sometime in my life and I'm so blind and arrogant I don't realize it, and one day I get to heaven and God says, sorry boy, you blew it long ago. How do I know that I haven't committed the unforgivable sin? Before John Bunyan was converted, you all heard of John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress? He wrote another book called Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, his autobiography. And he writes there that for about 6 months before he was converted, he went through a state of mental torture. He convinced himself that he'd committed the unforgivable sin. And he says in his book he was afraid to go to sleep at night in case he didn't wake up and ended up in hell. He was terrified of going to hell because he'd convinced himself he'd committed a sin that was unpardonable. He nearly went absolutely mad until he realized something. What did he realize? Well, that's what I'm going to tell you today. So hang on. I'm going to tell you what saved John Bunyan's soul and how he realized he had not committed the unforgivable sin. What is this sin that's so bad that it can never be forgiven? It's mentioned there. Look there. There is a sin that leads to death. And he says, I'm not telling you to pray for that. What is this terrible sin? What can be so terrible that is unforgivable? What can be so terrible that John tells us not to bother praying for it? What is it? Let me ask you, can hypocrites be forgiven? I'm a hypocrite. There are times when I'm a hypocrite even today. Thank God I'm forgiven. Can blasphemers and false teachers be forgiven? I've blasphemed in my past life. I've followed false teaching. I'm forgiven. Can murderers be forgiven? The Bible tells us the Apostle Paul caused innocent Christians to die for their faith. He was a committer of murder. He confesses it himself. And yet Paul was forgiven completely. Can Satanists be forgiven? You might not know this, but the Bible says there was once a time when you were a servant of Satan. Yeah, Satanists can be forgiven if they repent. What about the people in Jesus' day that tortured Christ and beat him and spat on him and abused him and hurt him and mockingly put him on a cross? Can people like that be forgiven? What does the Bible say? The Bible said when Christ hung on the cross dying, his final words were, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. God is willing to forgive terrible sins. Satanists, child abusers, murderers, blasphemers, you name it. If they truly repent, they will certainly be forgiven their sins. There is no sin, the Bible says, that's not beyond Christ's redemption, if there's repentance. Well, if that's the case, what on earth is this terrible sin that we read of here that can never be forgiven? We've got to ask that question because that's what we have in front of our eyes in the Word of God. What is this sin that leads to death? The answer's found in verse 18. Now you've got to listen to me. Slightly technical, but not terribly. We read there, "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him." In that verse is the answer to the question on the unforgivable sin. Where? What does that mean? I want you to notice in that passage, in verse 18, the words "born of God" are mentioned twice. Do you see it in verse 18? Born of God, born of God. Now I'm going to insult all English speakers. Sometimes our language is not a very deep language. It doesn't express things the way the original language expressed it. If you were to read that in English, it might not make sense to you. The one born of God keeps the one born of God. So I'm going to show you what it looks like in the original language and explain it, and then I'm going to show you what the unforgivable sin is. You don't need to mind write this down, but the first time it mentions born of God in the original, can you see at the back? Gegelethenta. Now, it might be different in modern Greek, so if the spelling, that's what it says in the Bible. Gegenethenta, it's what's known as past perfect tense. Gegenethenta. What does it mean, born of God? In the first case, it means one who was originally not born of God and then became born of God. It's past perfect. In other words, a one who's born again. The second one is genesin, which is aorist, which means once for all. The first born of God in the text is those born again of the Spirit, you and me. The second born of God is the eternally begotten Son, Jesus Christ. There are two people mentioned in that passage. You will not see that in the English, but it's clearly taught in the Greek. And the best translation I could find in English is from the Amplified Translation. Heard of that one? Listen to how they put it in the light of what I've just said. The one begotten, or the one who was begotten of God, that's Jesus, the one who's begotten of God, carefully watches over and protects the one born of God and preserves him against all evil. Did you get that? What he's saying is, if you're in Christ, well, let me ask you that. Are you this morning born again? Have you been, as we read in our text, gegenethenta, are you one who has been in time born of God? In other words, are you in Christ Jesus? Is Jesus your atoning cover? Is Jesus your rock of ages, your hiding place? If so, if you're in Christ, all of your sins are totally and permanently atoned for. This is God's word, Psalm 103. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your transgressions from you. If you're a Christian, if you are born of God, because of the one who is born of God eternally, you are absolutely and irrevocably, eternally forgiven. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Okay, so if you're a Christian, a true Christian, because there are hypocrites, but if you're born of God, you can be forgiven for every sin. You're absolutely forgiven. But then what is the unforgivable sin? What is it? You've got to listen now. The unforgivable sin is any sin, any sin that's committed outside of Christ. You see, it's not a matter of what the unforgivable sin is, but where the unforgiven sinner stands. Does that make sense? It's not a matter of what the unforgivable sin is, but where the unforgiven sinner stands. If you are outside of Christ, it's absolutely impossible for your sins to ever be forgiven. Jesus tells us here that, well, John in the Gospel tells us, it's not worth even praying for people who are outside of Christ and have committed sin. You're wasting your time praying for people that won't come to Jesus because they have committed sin that's unforgivable because they are not born of God, and the one born of God cannot keep them. Does that make sense? If you're outside of Christ, any sin you do is the unforgivable sin. Hey, banging your toe and saying some nasty little word, you've just committed the unforgivable sin if you're outside of Christ. But inside of Christ, if you're born of God, the one born of God keeps you. The unforgivable sin is not a matter of what is done that's so bad, but where your sin is committed. In Jesus Christ, there is total forgiveness. Outside of Christ, all sin is unforgiven. And even today, you know this, and it's a tragic fact, there are millions of people out there committing the unforgivable sin. They will be condemned one day because of the sin they committed outside of the atoning cover of Christ. So what is the unforgivable sin? It is the sin that John tells us is not even worth praying for. The sin that leads to death. And I'll say it one more time, it is this. The unforgivable sin is any sin at all committed outside of Christ. I can even give you a picture as I close of what I mean. There is a typology of the gospel in the Old Testament book of Genesis. It's known as the Ark. Now, we all know the story of Noah and the ark. How many of you know that story is foreshadowing a greater ark? The ark Jesus Christ. Now, when Noah and his family climbed in the ark and closed the door, and when the rains came down, millions, possibly millions of people died, and they died unsaved and unsavable. Now, it's no good asking the question, well, what particular bad thing did they do that drowned them? The issue is not what they did, although they were sinners and that's why they died. The issue is this. They drowned because they were outside of the ark. You're either in the ark or you're out of it. If you were outside the ark, it didn't matter who you were, you rendered yourself unsavable. Because salvation was found in one place only. In exactly the same way, if you're outside of Christ, your sin is rendered unforgivable, and it doesn't matter who prays for you, unless you come into Christ, you're an unforgiven sinner. That is the unforgivable sin. Please don't believe this Roman teaching about the venial and the mortal sin. Please don't believe all these work crazy false teachers tell you. All sin is forgiven in Christ. Outside of Christ, even forgetting to say your prayers before you eat your meal is an unforgivable sin. It's not what the unforgivable sin actually is. It is where the unforgiven sinner stands. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for the wonderful Son of God, he who is born of God from all eternity, the only begotten Son. And I thank you, Lord, that I know I have been born of God, and therefore the one born of God keeps me safe. And as far as you're concerned, Father, I cannot sin. I'm covered. I'm holy and spotless in your sight. And I say, hallelujah, praise be to God. O God, may many others before the end comes find their refuge in the Rock of Ages, the only place where sin is able to be forgiven. For Christ's sake, amen.